Big thank you to all of the love that you've shown to Carrie and I since we've been here. We're so grateful to be here with you, to see you guys with all the emails and the phone calls that I've had back and forth with Bill and telling us about the church family here and everything that we've done. We're just thrilled that we're actually here now and we can be with you guys and we can participate with your worship and get to know you guys on a different level. We've stayed in some of your homes. We've eaten meals with you. And that is really, truly the best way to get to know people. When you sit up and the late night conversations to the wee hours of the morning. So we're going to have some fun this morning. And we're going to look at one of my favorite things. And that's gospel hymns. There is music. Is an amazing, powerful force. Martin Sheen in the television show The West Wing had stated that music is words fitly spoken that can move us in ways that literal meaning cannot. And that is so true. As we look at what they do, and we can say something, and then we can sing it, and it's totally different. You can say the words. Great example. One of my favorite psalms is Psalms in chapter 63. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there for just a moment. We'll play with this just for the fun of it, and you'll see what I mean. Very similar to if you'd be in a situation where you'd hear a dramatic reading. I was blessed a few years ago and someone gave me a copy of the New International Version that was dramatized. And it's got different voices. And when they're on the ship and the winds and the waves come, you can actually hear winds and waves in the background. It makes it very, very interesting to listen to this. But listen to what the writer says here. It says, "O God, you are my God. I shall earnestly seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh yearns for you, in a dry and weary land where there's no water. Thus I've seen you in the sanctuary, beheld your power and glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise your name. So I will bless you as long as I live, and I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praise with joyful lips." You know, it sounds good. But you know, the a cappella group did it much better. They said, "In a dry and weary land where is no water, my soul is thirsting for you. I have seen you in the sanctuary, beheld your power and glory. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. Your love is better than life." Which one are you going to remember? You're going to remember a song that is done to worship. When we look at that way, when we look at the power of the music, that's going to stay with us. We memorize scripture with song. "I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians 2 and verse 20. How much easier is that to remember? Now we put it to song. We talked about it last night, where the books of the Bible and the prophets and the apostles and all the different things that we know that we can sing with song. It makes it more memorable. And it awakens our heart to the very core of what the writer is trying to get across. And the very hymns that we sing are just that way. And we all know the stories that we're so familiar with. Songs of stories like "It Is Well With My Soul" and songs like "Amazing Grace." If we have time, we're going to talk about "It Is Well With My Soul" later. But "Amazing Grace," hey, does anybody know what the original name of the tune "Amazing Grace" was? I won't let you wait. from the Chronicles hymns. It was called Faith's Review and Expectation. Sounds really powerful, does it not? Faith's Review and Expectation. But somewhere along the line, someone said, Amazing Grace. First lines of the song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It's amazing, John Newton, when he wrote that song, he was blind. He had to go blind to see the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing, and we can look at it a little bit more. There is so much that we can learn from this, and Andrew, we're going to flip through this rather quickly. There's so much we can learn from this song. If you go to the next slide, John Newton actually preached in this church building right here. It's called Olney Church in England. It's a very, very beautiful place. This is actually an HDR photo that was taken by a friend of mine, and he's altered it, and it really, really brings out the colors. And we're going to see, if you remember, this is a modern-day picture, by the way. This was taken just a few years ago. But if we look at this picture, we're going to see a picture of John Newton in just a moment, and you're going to see the peaks of the stained glass. Next slide. Anybody seen the movie Amazing Grace? If you haven't, do yourself a favor and watch it. You're not going to see the history of the story itself, but you're going to feel and see the struggles that was going on. Next slide. The ship that was used to carry the Africans from their home, stealing them from their home and bringing them to a place that they never knew so that they could be slaves. I have some homework for you. The homework for you is to go home, go on YouTube, and type in Amazing Grace on the Black Keys. There's an amazing black preacher that is going to come on and tell you a story that is going to rip your heart out. But needless to say, as John Newton was piloting those slave ships, he would have heard hymns coming from below deck. And if you look in the songbook under Amazing Grace, it said words by John Newton. Melody unknown. As the brother says in the video, one day I want to meet that brother named Unknown. The chains that were used to bind them below deck, they couldn't move. The only stops that they would make would be to discard the dead bodies. Chris Tomlin, a couple of years ago, did an amazing thing. He took this beautiful, beautiful hymn and he added a chorus. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Amazing grace. It's such a beautiful thing. William Wilberforce, in the movie, you'll see this. He was the member of the parliament there in England that fought almost to the death because of his health for the abolition of slaves. He says, God Almighty has set before me two objects, the suppression of the slave trade and the reformation of manners. I love this. What an amazing thought. Look more about William Wilberforce and what he did and how he brought about an amazing change in the way that we look at things. Keith Lancaster. Look at that picture. Now go to the next one. You see those arch tops? That's John Newton. Look at what John Newton says. By 1 hour's intimate access to the throne of grace, where the Lord causes His glory to pass before. Remember the story of Moses? And he was on the mountain, and he had one request of God. What was the request? Show me your face. Can you imagine that? It gives me chills just thinking about it. To see the face of God. Show me your face. And God says, no, you can't. But I'm going to put my hand over here, and I'm going to show you my back as I pass away. And the result of it was something that was amazing. He spent time up in the mountains with God, and when he came down the mountain, something had changed to Moses. What happened? He was glowing. He was glowing to the point that he was afraid. For the time that he spent on the mountain, just viewing the back of God, the grace glowed so much that it radiated through Moses. Think about how much more we spend time with our Savior. We'll give off that same glow. By 1 hour's intimate access to the throne of grace, where the Lord causes His glory to pass before the souls that seek Him. Remember that later in our lesson when we talk about let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Amen. Seek Him. You may acquire more true spiritual knowledge and comfort than a day's or week's converse with the best or worst of men. 1 hour. 1 hour with the glory of God. What a beautiful thought. We sing songs like Blessed Be the Time. John Fawcett was a preacher in a small country village in England. And he got to the point where he had been given his dream job. He was going to go to London, England to preach for a big church. They packed up the wagons. And they got everything ready to go. And as they were ready to hook up and get on the wagon and leave for London, his wife with tears in her eyes says, John, I can't go. I can't leave these people. I can't leave the ones I love. John got down off the wagon and says, I can't either. Unpack the wagon. He got in and they had a devotional and they praised God. And he penned the words, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship that we have with one another is powerful. We've been together with you guys 3 days. But we've made friendships and connections that are going to last not just a lifetime. They're going to last an eternity. Because if I don't see you ever again, I want to see you when we get home. If I don't see you here on this side of heaven, I know I want to see you when we get home, where there is no tears and no sorrow. Let me say, before we start the video, how many people know the name Jim McGuigan? Jim McGuigan was a professor at Abilene Christian University. He's an Irish-born evangelist and preacher and author. He wrote a wonderful, wonderful book, a number of wonderful, wonderful books. If you ever have an opportunity, he's a phenomenal preacher. His nephew, Billy McGuigan, is a very good friend of mine. That's Billy up there. He preaches at a church down in Richmond, Virginia, and I'm very excited to be this close to my brother. Normally, we're bicoastal. But now we're within hours' drive. Seriously thinking about calling him up for tomorrow morning and saying, brother, let's meet in Baltimore. We can meet at, you know, it's about halfway for both of us. Just so I can hug his neck and talk to him for a moment. But a couple of years ago, we were at the Pepperdine Lectures, and Keith Lancaster was leading singing. And he came down off the stage, and he had the microphone in his hands. And he walked up to the front row, and he put the mic in my face, and he says, only do you love Jesus? Well, I respond, oh, yes, I love Jesus. Keith says, tell me why you love Jesus. So I said, this is why I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Oh, oh. And we sang, oh, how I love Jesus. Billy is a very, very private man, an amazing preacher, full of wit. And the grace of God just oozes from every pore of his body. But when he goes to places like this, there's 3,000 people in this auditorium. He sits way in the back. He came up to me afterwards, and he's got this beautiful Irish brogue. You're going to hear it in just a moment. He said, oh, Lee, oh my goodness. I don't know what I would have done if Keith would have come up to me. And he was said, Billy, do you love Jesus? I would have froze. I would have said, My name is not Billy. Watch the video. He's got some words for us. Irish-born Joseph M. Scriven lived from 1819 to 1896. He was 25 years old. He was in love. He was going to be married. But the day before his nuptials, his beloved betrothed was taken by a tragic drowning accident. Heartbroken, Joseph sailed from his homeland to start a new life. We can imagine what was going through his head, the pain, the torture of losing someone that you love so dearly. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. While in Canada, our brother met one of the family members of a student that he was teaching at a school there. Her name was Eliza Rocher. Once again, though, Joseph's hopes and dreams were shattered when Eliza became deathly ill with the plague and died before they could make it to the altar. Have we trials, temptations? Are there troubles anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. These are not the words of a man who just lost two loves of his life. These are words of a man that is living on the top of a mountain, that has a relationship with God that knows no bounds. This is the relationship that comes by knowing God and having a relationship with God. This is the words of a man that his face is glowing because he's actually seen the very presence of God. He no sooner buried his mother, his wife-to-be, when he gets word that his mother is seriously ill back in Ireland, and he cannot go to her. He sits down and he writes a poem for his mother because he cannot afford to go see her. Are we weak, heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, still our hope, still our reward. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms, he'll take and shield you. Thou will find a solace there. That will find a comfort there. That will find a place of home there. That will find a place of hope there. That will find a place of love there. One of the verses that we don't see a lot in our text. Blessed Savior, thou hast promised, thou will all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon, in glory bright, unclouded, there will be no need of prayer. Rapture, praise, and endless worship will our sweet portion there be. Can I get an oh yeah? What a day that'll be. We sing a song, and I think of it often. What a day of glory, the day that we come home. We sing songs that talk about heaven. We sing songs that talk about endless days. We read text and scripture and books about endless lives and tearless eyes, where there will never be a sorrow, where there will never be a care. But here on this life, there are cares and there are concerns. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Covered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Father God, we come before your throne of grace humbly, admitting that we are sinners. We know, Father, that we have strayed from the path, but we know, Father, that we can come to you and we can lay our burdens at your feet, that you will hold on to us tightly and you will love us. Just like Father, the father returns to the prodigal, the son returns to the father in the story of the prodigal son, and the father sees him so far off and runs to him. We know, Father, that you run to us. We lay our cares and our burdens at your feet today, Father, and we thank you for the glory and the grace of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the time we have to be with you. We pray your blessings on us as we continue this morning. And your church says in one voice, in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Canada, where Joseph Scriven lived and taught all his life, there are a number of plaques. There's a street named after him. And there's actually a street named after his betrothed, Eliza Roche. On the tombstone, outside of a beautiful field, each side of this four-sided pillar has one verse of this beautiful hymn inscribed on it. Songs like this give us so much glory. This, by the way, Gospel Hymns 1, 2, 3, and 4... Sankey's Gospel Hymns was one of the older songbooks that we had for many, many years. We didn't have a publicized book like we do today, but this was one of the very first hymns to be included in that. Bud Boberg. His uncle, his name was Gustav. It's a pretty good picture of Uncle Gustav there. He was a Swedish preacher. He was on his way home from church one day. And back at the time, they didn't have a car that they could get into. If you were rich, you might have a buggy or a horse. But he walked the 3-mile trek from his home to his church. And as he was walking home that afternoon from preaching that day, the skies erupted and the clouds came in. Thunder and lightning poured down. And almost immediately, as soon as they could run for the trees and cover, it just as speedily disappeared. He was awestruck by the amazing power of this flood that came so quickly, but then just as speedily disappeared. And he could hear the birds chirping in the trees. He could hear the wind going through the tops of the trees. What a beautiful, beautiful thought to go home at that point and pin the words of an unbeautiful song. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displays. The psalmist says that the glory of the firmament tells a story of God. And if you've ever seen a starry night with the myriad of stars in the sky, we remember the promises made to Abraham where he said, I will bless you. And I will make you a rich nation, a powerful nation. I will bless you with children beyond belief. There will be more children than stars in the sky or sand on the seashore. But Gustav came home that day and he wrote 9 verses to a beautiful poem. The poem at the time was called O Stor Gud. In the Swedish tongue, we would say, O Mighty God. For lack of time, because we are short, I have to speed up my discussion here because there's so much that we need to talk about. This brother penned a poem and it was near forgotten. But a German preacher picked it up and he penned it because it was a Swedish poem. He put it to a Swedish tune and he sang it in his church services. There was a Russian missionary visiting Germany that came and heard this for the first time, so impressed with it that he took it home. And years and years and years later, just before World War II, a man by the name of Stuart K. Hine and his wife, Mercy, they were visiting missionaries. They were visiting in the Ukraine. And was his custom, as an evangelist, he would go to his host home and he would say, have you other Christians in the area? He says, I only know of one. There's a woman down the street here. Her name, I sometimes forget her name, but not important. Not important at this point. He gets there, and this is pre-World War II, okay? And we've not lived in a situation where we've got the threat of war. But the curfew, the lights are out. They're walking down a dirt path to go to this home early in the evening on a winter night in the Ukraine. And all of a sudden they hear loud crying and wailing. Stuart and his wife Mercy, that are familiar with the Ukrainian dialect, they stop and they listen. And he takes out a pencil and he writes down the words that he is hearing from the moans and the cries. And the beautiful, beautiful things that he is hearing. He looks and he comes to the light of the house. The woman that was the Christian had learned to speak and read Russian from a Bible that was left in her home by a Russian soldier. And so she went back and she used this as food for her ministry. So she's teaching people to read. I can teach you to read. Look at here. And guess what? As they're reading the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are being converted. We think we're smart. We started Let's Start Talking. No, we didn't. It was started in Ukraine back in 1930s. She was teaching students that very night. And the loud crying and the loud wailing was them confessing their sins. And when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. The very words we sing today are the confessions of those Ukrainians. Every time we sing the song, we confess to our God what an awesome God He is. Every time we sing the song, it becomes alive in our heart because we know that we have a God who loves us. War is terrible. The missionaries were kicked out before the invasions. They had to escape back to their home in England. And after the war, he spent times going to the refugee camps, finding people, finding Christians. And he found one man. And this is my favorite story. He found a man. And he said, "Are you a Christian?" And he says, "I am." And this war has been terrible. My wife is a Christian, and she begged me year after year after year to get to know her Savior, and I said no. But then this war came, and we had separated, and I had nowhere to turn but to Jesus Christ, my Lord. And I look forward to the day that I will stand hand in hand with my love, and she will know that I am a Christian. When Christ shall come. With shouts of acclamation, what joy shall fill my heart when I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, "My God, how great Thou art." The first time she is going to know that her husband is a faithful child of God, she will not be just looking at his face. She was looking at the face of her Lord too. I don't know if they found each other after the war. The story doesn't tell us, and I have searched. But I think that is that the day that they see and they reunite. And what a reunion that will be. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. This song almost never made it into our songbook. And I've been crucified, not as Christ, but verbally, because I've brought up this man. Anybody know the man there on the left? In his crusades, post-World War II, the men with him here is Shea and Barrows. They were his song leaders that would go on their crusades with him. They went through Europe, and a leaflet with the words of Stuart K. Hines' song was put before him, and he dismissed it twice. But then Shea and Barrow convinced him when they came through Canada, "We have to sing this song. How great Thou art." The words he came and he penned later. Beautiful, beautiful words. He says, "I love the words of this song, for it places on us the responsibility to look at God as the preeminent being, as God as being awesome, as God as being our Redeemer and our Deliverer, and it takes his focus off of me, a sinner. Think not what great things you can do for God, but think first of whatever you can do for a great God. This was 1954, recorded by a woman who heard these words. We think that that was John Fitzgerald. Think not what you can do for your country. Jeez, this is started here by Dr. Orr. In California, nonetheless. By the way, some of you heard there was a 6.0 magnitude earthquake in San Francisco this morning. And some have come up and shared their thoughts and prayers for our family. That's quite a ways away from our home. If you just know where San Diego is and where San Francisco is, it would be like Philadelphia and Myrtle Beach, Florida. There's quite a distance between those. California is a big, big, long state. It takes about 9 hours to get from the bottom to the top. But in Billy Graham's evangelistic crusades, this song became powerful. And over the years, this song has been recorded over and over again. Next slide. Okay. 2 minutes. It's like in the hockey game. 2 minutes remaining in the final period. We got Elvis Presley. We got Roy Rogers. We got Tennessee Ernie Ford. The top, we know who that is? Carrie Underwood and Vince Gill. A few years ago, in the Country Music Awards, they sang this song. And if you haven't watched it, go on YouTube. Or better yet, go to iTunes, because when CBS Video released this to iTunes, in 3 minutes, it became the number one video download of all time. You say people don't care about Jesus Christ? You say people don't care about gospel music? I say they do. Number one download. And it'll bring tears to your eyes when you see this beautiful duet sing this amazing hymn. Bill couldn't get the bottom group here. Anybody want to take a stab at who that group is? I'll give you a hint. They got their start as backup singers.
Daddy sing bass.
That is the Statler Brothers. She did it! You speak up, sister! When they got to Madison Square Garden in 1957... the crowd that assembled there for the crusade of Billy Graham chanted, "How great thou art! How great thou art! How great thou art!" Let's stand and sing. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the wood and forest glades I wander, and hear the bird sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, and when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And the church says,
amen.
You are dismissed.